But next, I have the honor of introducing someone I know pretty well, my son, Jude Gulish. So he is going to come up here and speak for the first time ever to you. So Jude, like I said, he spent a year in Alpena. He was doing mechanics up in Alpena, and he just felt like God had something more for him. He felt a call on his life to go to Indiana Wesleyan University and study Christian ministries. So Jude is my resilient son. He is tough as nails. I can remember when he would fall and scrape his knee, and I'd be like, oh, Jude, are you okay? Thinking he's going to cry. He just get up, rub some dirt on it. Like, that's my Jude. So here we go. Let's let him talk.
Thank you. Thanks, Mom. Yeah, so ReChurch, guys, that you guys got to go check that out. That's a really cool thing they're doing over there in Cadillac. You guys are a church planting church, so you should be proud of that. So I just want to thank you guys for being here this morning and giving me the privilege to preach while my dad's away. So you guys know I'm Jude. I'm interning here this summer through Indiana Wesleyan. When my dad asked me to preach, I told him I want to help people grow closer to God. And so that led me to the book of James. So this morning we're going to be looking at practical ways to draw closer to God. If you guys have your Bible, say you want to open them up to James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. That's where we're going to be spending most of our time this morning. We're going to let these passages speak to us, and we're going to go ahead and dive right in. The author of the book of James is James. He's the half-brother of Jesus. He was the leader in the Jerusalem church. The purpose of this book is to correct false beliefs that a person can have faith without changing behavior, and is to give practical instruction regarding the Christian life. Many of you know James is calling us into a deeper, more genuine relationship with God in chapter 4. Let's go ahead and read verse 1. What is causing the fights among you, the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war with you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war and take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what gives you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief, and let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Guys, I'm a living testimony of what Jesus can do in someone's life. I love the Lord, and I love Jesus. I'm sure many of you do too. But Indiana Wesleyan's been such an encouragement to my faith. I'm always surrounded by amazing people and amazing professors. It's so easy to live out the Christian life there. It's kind of like living at church. I mean, we have amazing professors. There's chapel times. You have small groups. Amazing friends. It's a great place to grow in your faith. I just remember one time in my evangelism discipleship class, in the first day, our teacher gathered us all around in a circle of chairs, and they would put one guy in the center, and we would pray for him and what was burdening him in that season of time. And you could see healing happening. And it was just a marvelous, miraculous thing. As you can see, I'm an advocate for Christian college. There's just so many more examples of how this I love this college. It's amazing. But through all this, I found myself asking this question this summer. Why is it so hard to live out the Christian life outside of the spiritual mountaintops in life? I think James verse 1 puts it well. It says, what is causing the fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? James's readers were living in an atmosphere of constant fights and quarrels. Pleasure was an override desire in their life. This is our nature, James is saying. It comes from the evil desires. It's a sin issue. Verse 2, You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. The world will tell you to fight to do what it takes to get what you want. James is saying we're coveting in this passage. It's being jealous of someone that or something that someone has. If you can't find it in your heart to be happy for someone, James is saying you're wandering far from God. James's readers desire pleasure rather than God. They're frustrated when they keep coming up empty, so they fight out of jealousy. At the end of verse 2, James says, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. He's saying we live prayerless lives. How can you become close to God if you don't want to talk to him? When was the last time we got on our knees before God and just simply asked? Verse 3, and even when you ask, your motives are all wrong. You only want what gives you pleasure. Sometimes when we pray, we're satisfied. We pray selfishly that our will be done and not God's. We need to mock how Jesus prayed, because he gave us the Lord's Prayer for a reason. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done as earth and as it is in heaven. We need to take our prayer lives and focus on more of what the Lord calls us to pray for, that rather than the things that give us pleasure. We need to be mindful of what we pray for. Next, James is calling out his readers for spiritual unfaithfulness. Verse 4 says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. James is saying this is spiritual adultery. He's calling us a name here. The noun adulterers in the Greek translates to adulteresses. This is a woman who commits adultery. I know you guys heard it, that you're the bride of Christ. So how do you think God feels when we are friends with the world? And James is saying how God feels here. He's saying you're an enemy of me if you want to be friends of the world. The person who deliberately chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's a scary place to be, folks. Let's make sure we're not in any kind of spiritual adultery. Verse 5. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him, or that the spirit he has caused to dwell in us envies intensely, or that the spirit he has caused to dwell in us longs jealously. If we choose to live our lives the way we want, God takes our choice not to trust him very seriously and very personally. We know that God's a jealous God. He is jealous for us. He won't easily allow us to continue living lives of selfishness, especially when he's put his spirit in us. In these passages 1 through 5, James has been beating us up, explaining what lures the hearts of men away from God. But he comes around in verse 6. I love this passage of scripture. It says, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Some versions even say, but he gives more grace. James is saying, when our sins went deep, his grace went deeper. God will take you back. He wants you to draw near to him. None of us can say that, oh, God pulled away. We're far from God. No, God has given us everything we need to be close to him by the means of his grace through his church. We need to take advantage of the means of grace God has already given us. If you want to be around God's spirit, be around God's people. Hang out with people that are in the church. Surround yourself. Get into a growth group so we can live in God's generous grace. Open up a book. Maybe go through some spiritual disciplines. Learn about God. Grow together in the body of Christ. In Acts 2, 46 through 47, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Verse 7, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Since God opposes the proud but helps the humble, he says, submit yourselves to God. Submission is not the same as obedience, but rather it comes with obedience. It leads to obedience. James is saying resist the devil like Jesus did actively. Jesus actively resisted the devil by quoting scripture to the devil. The promise that the devil will flee from us gives us assurance that he can be resisted. Let's take our energy in resisting God's will in our life and take that energy and resist the devil. Verse 8 this morning can basically sum up everything I'm trying to get at this morning. If you don't leave with one thing, leave with verse 8. Memorize this verse. It's amazing. It says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. James is saying we can't just fall into righteousness. We can pray that God can draw himself close to us, but yeah, yes, he can do that. But James is saying, come close, and then God will come close to you. It takes you coming close first. It says, wash your hands, purify your hearts. There needs to be an inner work and an outer work, James is saying. This is a call to repentance. It's talking about looking at our inner lives and our outer lives. He's saying, if the things you don't do with your body don't honor God, you need to stop it. To purify your hearts and minds. Some versions even say you double-minded. A lot of people can hide their evil. James is saying cleanse the inner man and the outer man. Some say they love God, but do they truly love him? You know, Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You've heard Jesus say also, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. He doesn't mean literally. He's talking about getting radical with repentance because you can still lust with one eye. I'm going to have the band come on up. Verse 9, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. When James is saying, let there be tears for what you've done, he's saying, in your heart, hate your sin. He's saying engage in a remorseful response to your sinfulness. He's calling us to cry and mourn and be gloomy. He even calls us to set aside laughter and joy. True repentance comes with tears. Just like in 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, godly sorrows produces more than tears. It produces a desire to change that leads us to deliverance, freedom, and salvation. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. God exalts those who humble themselves. God wants us to trust in the timing when he will exalt us. We humble ourselves. What does it look like to humble yourselves this morning? Do you want to come close to God? Do you want to get on your knees and deal with the sin in your life? I want to make sure that I'm not in any kind of spiritual adultery. I want to make sure I'm not in any kind of friendship with the world. I want to walk in God's grace. I want to come close to him. I want to submit myself to God so I can humble myself and God can come close to me and he can exalt me in honor. God calls us to walk in the same path as Jesus did in humility today. You pray with me. Lord, we thank you for being your spirit here, being today. God, we love you. We thank you for all the scripture you've given us that we can come close to you, God, when we come close to you first, Lord. God, we love you. You are amazing, God. Be here with us for the rest of the service and the rest of the week, Lord. God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.